We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and reveal treasures which are hidden in it to us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue our study of the life of David. This morning, advice from Abigail. We're in 1 Samuel, chapter 25, verses 18 through 25. To kind of set the stage, Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. But they didn't advise David what to do. Before, when he had a chance to kill Saul, they told David, "Kill him. This is God giving you your enemy." Here, they don't say anything. But David knows exactly what to do. He's a mighty warrior. And he divided his 600 men into two groups. 200 of you stay back by the camp and protect it. The other 400 come with me. Gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. Probably the sword of Goliath. There was none like it. And David had taken it from the temple. And they got on horses, and away they went to kill the wicked Nabal. And away they go. So now the scene shifts back to Nabal's camp. And his wife Abigail is informed what he had done. As David and his 400 men were closing in for the kill, Nabal's wife Abigail prepares to meet him. What does she do? Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of ravens, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so when she rode upon the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And what did she see? And what did she hear? And here they are. And David's coming in for the kill. And what did he see? Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Instead of seeing Nabal and probably many of his soldiers, she saw Abigail. And Abigail was a beautiful woman. So anyway, she looked at David, and David looked at her. And what happened? She spoke to David. And David listened. She was a beautiful woman. And what a blessing she is from the Lord to keep David from committing a terrible sin by acting according to what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do. So David, with his 400 men and their swords and spears, were listening to the voice of a woman. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit tell it exactly what she said to David. And if you're following along in the Bible, it's going to be easy enough to understand. If you're not, there's two times where the word Lord is used over and over and over again. And in one instance, it's spelled with a small letter, L-O-R-D. And in the other instance, it's spelled with capital letters, capital L-O-R-D. So the one Lord appears to David, where Abigail is talking to David. The other appears as she's talking about the Lord. So as kind of awkward as it's going to have to be, I guess, I'll try to make it known which word is being used as we read through what she said. But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that she said to David. And what a blessing. So we're starting with verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord," small l, because she's talking about David, "upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be." Basically, she's saying, I see you've got 400 men, you're heavily armed, you're going through the camp of Nabal and kill all the men in it, but I'm asking you, bear your anger on me. Let it come to me. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. So she's calling David her Lord, and he and she is his handmaid. That's her approach. And David's listening, and the 400 men are listening. This is so blessed. It's more than the normal custom of the land. This was an act of faith. It was an act of faith on Abigail, who acknowledged David to be the anointed king of Israel, anointed by the Lord. She knew that, and she believed it. And that's how she's approaching him. Her husband Nabal had insulted David, made him a runaway slave to Saul. But Nabal's wife saw David as her anointed king. This is a nice way to start what she's saying. Let not my Lord, small l, talking about David, her Lord, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, small l, David, whom thou didst send. So now I know that you sent some men to Nabal. You asked for some blessings from him to feed your hungry crew. And I didn't know that. And I didn't know what he said to you. If I had known that, she's implying, it would have been a different story. Now she continues, now therefore, my Lord, small L, my Lord David, as the Lord, L-O-R-D caps, as the Lord God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, hath not withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord, small l, to David, be as Nabal. So she's pointing out to David his sin. And he's selling, she's telling him, the Lord didn't send you to kill Nabal. You acted this on your own. This was your own idea. And now let thine enemies be seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. So then she says, now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, and we just read about that, all the things that they could have to eat and take back to camp, let it even be given to the young men that follow my Lord. So she's constantly, small l, she's constantly calling David her Lord. And she's acknowledging him as the anointed king of Israel, anointed by God, and she is under him, a handmaid. She continues, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid. So she's actually asking David to forgive her. And she didn't really do anything wrong, but her husband did. And if she had known it, she would have stopped it, but she didn't know it. So she's taking his guilt upon herself and praying that David, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord God, will certainly make my Lord, small l, you, David, a sure house. Because my Lord, small l, David, because David, my Lord David, fighteth the battles of the capital L-O-R-D. I know you're God's representatives. Your representative, I know that you're fighting his battles. I know that. And evil hath not been found in thee in all thy days. She knows that David is innocent. He's not guilty of what he's being accosted of. He's trying to kill Saul. He's talking against Saul. He wants to throw him. No, she realized that's all lies. That's all lies. And most of the people, many of the people in the country believed Saul, the liar. The devil's a liar and the father of it. And people believed that. But she didn't. She wasn't taken in. She knows what the deal is. And then she says this, and it's so neat that she doesn't really mention Saul. She still has a certain honor to him because he is still king. So yet a man, doesn't mention who it was, but you know and I know, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord, small l, David, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the capital L-O-R-D, with the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God is protecting you. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Now she's using good shepherd language. A shepherd slinging us something out of the sling. That's what David did against Goliath. And she knew that. And she's making reference for it. And she's meeting David on his terms. And so then, and it shall come to pass when the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord God, it shall come to pass when the Lord God have done to my Lord, small L, my Lord David, according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee. Remember that, David. You've got promises from the Lord God, and they're good promises, and he's going to keep those promises, and you're going to be the next king of Israel. You're already anointed, and there's nothing Saul can do to stop it. Remember that, David. And shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. I know this is going to happen. You should know it too. And this shall be this, which you're about to do, if you had done it, this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my small L, unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord, small L, hath avenged himself. If you would go through with what you planned, this would be a bother to you when you're king of Israel. It would be on your conscience. And we don't want that to happen. But when the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, shall have dealt well with my small L, my Lord David, then remember thine handmaid. So basically, she is reminding David of what David already knew, and that is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And that's why David didn't kill Saul 2 times when he had the chance to. But here, when Nabal refused to help David and actually accused him of being a slave to Saul and running away, which is not nearly as serious as it was when Saul was trying to kill David with his army, but it's a smaller thing. But David is taking things into his own hand. And Abigail is basically saying, God sent me to you to stop you from committing this terrible sin. And that's what she said. And we can't stop, help but think of something like, you know, Proverbs 25, verse 12, as an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And then the Psalm 141, verse 5, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. So David here, and we've mentioned this at the beginning, that so far up to this point, David has been acting as a very, very godly man. And now he's acting in a way that seemed so wrong. Instead of asking God what he should do and letting God guide him, he does what he thinks he knows he should do. Get your sword and let's go and kill Nabal and all of his men. And taking things into his own hand, and Abigail is making this known to him. God sent me to you. I came to you by the will of the Lord God, capital L-O-R-D, to keep you from sinning. And so There are different times in David's life, as we continue to study it, where he's going to show himself to be a very wicked sinner. And part of this is, I think, for your sake and mine, David was no super saint. There are no super saints. We all stand on the same ground. Sins covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you're either a saint or you're not. And if you're a saint, you're one of the elect children of God, one of the very small remnant, chosen by him before the foundation of the world. And you and I had nothing to do with this. It was all done by God. And all saints are equal. No saint is more important than another one. We're all equal children of God. You're either a saint or you're not. And if you're not, you're a child of the devil. There's only two choices. And by far the majority choose to worship the devil. And those of us who are called by God, by his grace, nothing good in us. There's nothing good in David by nature. He's a sinner just like you and I are. And you see it in what's happening in this text. And you're going to see it later on in other parts of his life. So let's remember this. So David speaks to Abigail, Nana. What is David going to say to Abigail? And if David is going to continue on his sinful way, he's going to say, what right do you have to tell me what to do? I can do what I want to. And I will. Get out of the way. We're going to go into the camp of Nabal with our swords and spears and kill him. That's what he would say if he's going to his human nature now, because that's what he's standing there doing. That's what the 400 men are doing. They're heavily armed. And they probably wanted to go in and do some killing instead of being pursued by Saul all the time. Now they can be on the offensive instead of the defensive. So, but what does David say? David said to Abigail, and now here, this is so godly. Blessed be the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. He's giving God, first of all, the credit, but also then to Abigail, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. So if you're going to summarize David's answer to Abigail, what did he do? One word, repent. And this is a main lesson for you and for me also. David, as we continue to study his life, is going to be guilty of some terrible, terrible sins. Humanly speaking, worse than what you or I probably would commit. But he's one of God's chosen. He's one of God's elect. And even though he is one of God's elect, he still, in his own human nature, he still sins much every single day, and he still by nature deserves nothing but the punishment in hell. But he's covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so he comes to God as his father. He's a member of the family, and he repents. He repents. And this is the key difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. On this earth, we still are living in human bodies. We're living in a terrible world. We daily sin much. All of us, we have secret sins that we don't even know about, like David had. But like David, the Holy Spirit gives us repentance. That's the thing. So, one example in Scripture from both sides of the fence. The fishermen denied Jesus Christ right during the trial of the Lord, denied him three times. But he repented. He went out and wept bitterly, and those were tears of repentance. Judas Iscariot, on the other hand, betrayed Jesus Christ. And he didn't go to hell because he betrayed Christ. That was a terrible sin, but so was David's, or so was David's sin here, and so was Peter's sin, denying Christ three times. So it was a bad sin, but it wasn't one that would send him to hell. If he would have repented, that's the difference. Peter repented. Judas Iscariot did not. And he took the money, threw it on the floor of the temple, and went out and found a rope and took his own life. That's the difference. So let's remember that. David's, we've emphasized this over and over and over again. David's story is your story and mine. We're sinners just like he was, and this is shown, but we've also been given repentance, chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. That's the blessed difference. This is not the end of the story. More next week, God willing.